Well, good evening. We've got a really awesome passage to get stuck into tonight, John 10. The series we've been looking at, if you've come before, it's called Find Life, Talks from the Bible Book of John. And tonight Jesus talks about this life, about finding life. So I want to start with verse 10 and we'll work our way backwards. So we'll start with verse 10, which is, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly." So I'd just like to talk about three things tonight. The first is our craving for life. The second thing is the life that Jesus offers. And the third thing is, how do we receive it? So our craving for life, the life that Jesus offers, and how do we receive it? So first of all, our craving for life. As human beings, there's something within us that just craves life. Right, and when we're talking about life tonight, talking about vitality, full of energy, full of vigor, happiness, excitement. We're not talking about life as in, you know, a tree is alive. You know, a tree is just it exists, but it's not full of vigor. So that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about life as in a lifetime or a span of time. We're talking about vitality, vigor, energy, coming alive. That's what Jesus is talking about tonight. And this is what we crave. Okay, you know, we crave vitality, we crave happiness, we crave to be awed and wondered, we crave to see beautiful things, we crave tasty food, we crave beautiful music. Okay, we just have this desire within us to be excited and to come alive. You'll ask someone what they want to do with their life, and I reckon you'd be hard pressed to find someone who says, I want a boring life. What I'm aiming for in life is boredom. If I hit boredom, I'll be happy with that. You'll never, and if you do find someone who that's your attitude, bring them along to church because they need some friends. It's not a real healthy place to be in, but we don't crave boredom, do we? I mean, you ask a high schooler, you know, Jordo's going into paramedical science. Awesome field, exciting. You know, you're in the thick of it. I mean, you ask someone who's leaving school, what do you want to do? They want to have an exciting life. They want an exciting job. They want to travel. They want to have beautiful food and see beautiful things. You know, they crave that. Or what about a kid? I mean, you ask a kid, I mean, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he could just say, oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to save people's lives. Or I want to be a firefighter. And I want to spray out fires, or I want to be a robber, you know. So I don't want to, I want to be a cop, you know. I want to be a policeman, and I want to catch the robbers, and I want to have this exciting police life. Sorry, kids and parents, just slipped that one. But, you know, we have this craving for life, and I mean, a lot of marketing, you know, is based at this craving within ourselves for life. I mean, have you seen those BCF ads? I love those BCF ads on TV. They've usually got some guy just sitting there, and he just looks, he's playing a video game or he's reading a book, and he's just really bored, you know. And the commentator, the voiceover says, you know, that ain't living, Jono, this is living. And it crosses to, you know, some guy on a boat reeling in a 300-pound swordfish. And what it's marketing at is that we don't want to be bored. We want to come alive. We want to have energy. We want to find excitement in life. You know, we just have this deep craving within us. You know, I mean, can you kind of relate to that craving? And we try to find it in all sorts of different areas. Try to find this fulfillment in all sorts of different areas. I mean, you might think, oh, if I just had this new car, wow, if I just had a Skyline, that would be awesome to own a Skyline. That would be so much fun. We think, oh man, I just need to go traveling. You know, if I just saw the world, if I just saw beauty, wow, that would be awesome. That would be satisfying. Or if I just had this, awesome career, and you know, I got these promotions. Or if I just had $1 million, wow, that would be awesome to have $1 million. That would make me happy. That would satisfy me. That would fill this craving. I mean, can you relate to that? Can you relate to going after things in your life, hoping to find this excitement, hoping to find this, you know, this satisfaction and this happiness? I know this is me all over. When I was 18, all my friends were at either uni or they were doing an apprenticeship earning about $200 a week. And I was at Domino's earning big bucks for an 18-year-old and getting bonuses. And so after I had a car, I just went out and just bought anything I wanted. And I remember I was at a youth group camp, and one of my friend's mums came up and said to me, she was a bit bitter about it, actually, and she said to me, "You know what, Ian? If you want something, you just go out and buy it, don't you?" And I thought, ouch. But yeah, that's actually kind of true, I guess, when you put it that way. I do. If I want something, I just go out and buy it. You know, I thought, oh, wow, it would be awesome to have a skateboard. So I'd go out and buy a skateboard. And I thought, oh, maybe not. Okay, I'll go out and buy a stickboard, or I'll go out and buy a skimboard, or, you know, yeah, Mum's nodding. She knows exactly what we're talking about. Our shed is just full of these boys' toys that I racked up from when I was working at Domino's. And it's because deep inside of me, I just had this craving for excitement, this craving for awe, this craving for wonder, this craving for a buzz. And I was just looking for it, you know, in just all of these boys' toys. And just looking for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. The thing is that we can never really find it. We can never really grasp that one thing that satisfies us completely. You know, we go over after all these things, but we can't find that one thing that just satisfies that craving actually lasts. You know, like we crave this much, and what we get is this much of excitement, and then it's over. We can't find something that just really satisfies us, you know? Like, you go travelling, and once you've travelled, it was awesome, but oh, I need to do it again, and I need to do it bigger and better. Or you get a promotion at work, and you just want to get another one, bigger and better. Or you get money, and then you just think, oh, I just want more and more and more. Or you have romance, and then the romance is over, and you just think, well, where did that go? I mean, I thought that was going to satisfy me. And we go after all of these different things in our lives, just trying to find that one thing that's just going to fill that need, that's going to excite us, that's going to satisfy us. And that was like me. I mean, I went out and just bought every boy's toy I can think of, fully thinking that it was going to be awesome and that it was going to satisfy me, and it never did. And I was just going after the next thing, after the next thing, after the next thing. And life just, it just feels empty because we just can't find that one thing to fill that spot. So what about what Jesus says here in our passage tonight? What about the abundant life that Jesus offers? I mean, is it just the same as everything else? Is it this promise of Jesus? Is it just a big promise that can't, you know? Big promise, big letdown. Can it actually satisfy us, or is it just like everything else that we go after? It just can't hit the spot. So what is this life that Jesus offers? We'll just have a look at verse 10 again. Verse 10. Is there next one? Yeah, sorry. Just halfway down. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, thanks, Nick. That word life there is exactly what we've just been talking about. It isn't just a tree existing. It doesn't mean just existing. It doesn't mean lifetime. The word life here, it's a Greek word called doze, and it means vitality, vigor, energy, excitement, coming alive, becoming a full human being. That's the word that Jesus uses here. So what Jesus is saying here is that he can offer this life, and that he has come to give this life, to give this vitality. And right throughout the book of John, we've been seeing Jesus talks about this eternal life just again and again and again and again and again. Eternal life, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. And right at the end of John's Gospel, just the day before Jesus is about to be crucified, he's praying to God, and he actually tells us exactly what this life is. So I'll just get Mick to bring up John 17. And Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So life there, the same meaning. You know, this is vitality, this is energy, this is happiness, this is satisfaction, knowing God. Knowing Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying that you've got this craving for vitality, and life, vitality, is knowing God, having a relationship with God, knowing how awesome God is, that is what is going to blow your mind. That's what's going to give you awe. That's what's going to give you wonder. That's what's going to excite you more than anything else here. This is eternal life, that you know God. Having a relationship with God, that's what life's about. That's what we were made for. That's what's going to fulfill our craving. And you might think, well, gee, Ian, you know, that's a bit lofty, don't you think, mate? That's a bit super spiritual. That's a bit high and mighty. I mean, well, I'm just an average Joe. I mean, can I have this satisfaction in God? Can I have this satisfying relationship with God? But there was a guy called Paul, and Paul wrote a decent chunk of the Bible. And Paul knew exactly what Jesus was talking about here. Paul had a real taste of this life on earth. And he talks about it in a letter that he wrote to Philippians. So I'll just get Michael to bring up Philippians. And this is what he says. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So I'll just read that again. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Thanks, mate. So do you see what Paul is saying here? He's saying, you know, I've lived, I've had life, I've had all of these things, but compared to God, compared to knowing God, they're rubbish. Pretty big statement. You know, food, sex, career, relationships, romance, compared to God, they're boring. They're rubbish. I'm happy to give up all of those things just so that I can get a relationship with God, just so I can know what God is like, because that is what's satisfying. You see what Paul is saying there? That all of these other things are boring and rubbish compared to knowing God, compared to having a real relationship with God. That is what life is all about. That's what's satisfying. That's what meets our craving. It's kind of like just say, if you've had a part-time job, just say when you're a teenager and you've got a part-time job somewhere, maybe at KFC or Domino's or whatever, and you're washing dishes or you're serving customers, and at the time you think, oh, you know, it's okay, it's an alright job, I mean, I get enough to get me through life and get enough to pay the bills, and I get to speak to people. And at the time, you think you've got a sweet deal, you think it's a good job. Later on in life, you get a far better job. You know, you might do some study or you might work your way up. And you look back at the old job you had and you just think, it just does not compare. That job is rubbish compared to what I have now. I mean, I get to do what I want. I get a far better pay. You know, I'm working with people that I want to work with. And even though back then you were satisfied, but now you look back and you go, gee, that was just nothing compared to what I have now. That's kind of like what Paul is saying here, is that, look, those things were good and those things were fun and I enjoyed those things, but now that I have God, now that I know who God is, now that I have this relationship with God, those things are just boring. Those things are rubbish compared to this relationship that I have with God now. So the life that Jesus offers you, so that I've come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly, that's talking about knowing God and being completely satisfied in having a relationship with him. That's the life that Jesus offers. So how do we get this life? How do we get what Paul had? How do we get this relationship with God? Where does Jesus tell us to go? And we're going to get stuck into the passage and just look at who Jesus is talking about and what's going on. Just before that, as Michael shared last week, Jesus had just healed a blind man, blind from birth, made him see. And the Pharisees hated Jesus for that because he did it on a Saturday. It's pretty ridiculous, you know. Jesus just completely heals this blind man and the Pharisees come up and say, naughty, naughty, you did it on a Saturday. And they hate him for it. I mean, it's pretty, you know, as Michael was saying, it's a pretty ridiculous thing. So Jesus responds to the Pharisees' criticism and he uses a picture. He wants to teach them something about them, about him, and about people. He uses a picture, uses illustration of a sheep, a shepherd, a doorway, and a robber. So we'll just read it again, starting from verse 1. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So Jesus explained it. "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come in except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.'" Thanks, Mick. So he's saying that the sheep are people. The shepherd is Jesus. Jesus is the door as well. And the robbers are the Pharisees. Okay? And what Jesus is saying is that Jesus is saying, just after this blind man is healed, he's saying, "Look, I love people. I care for people. I bring people to God. I give them life. Okay? But you guys are robbers. You don't come to give people life. You come to take people away from God. You come to steal people from God and take them to your own religion, which is about you and about power and money and prestige. You don't love people. You don't want to give them life. You don't want to take them to God. You want to steal them away from me. You want to steal them away from God and take them to your own religion." So Jesus, you know, addresses their religion and say, "Look, I am the way to God. I love people. I care about them. I give them life. I am the doorway to God." It's pretty striking what Jesus says there when he says, "I am the door." He's saying that, look, if you want to be a child of God, if you want to know God, you need to come through me. Not through your religion. You need to come through me. I'm the way to get to God. Pretty exclusive, isn't it? Pretty exclusive. Later on in Jesus' life, he spoke about the same thing again. Okay, but he's not speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to some of his friends. And it's recorded in John 14, verse 6. "And Jesus said to them, 'I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Very exclusive, isn't it? He's saying, "I am the way to God. I am the path to life. I am the truth. I am the real deal. No one can come to God except through me." Pretty exclusive. In that sentence, Jesus isn't just saying that he is the way, but he's saying that he is the only way. Unfortunately, across the world today, we have, you know, thousands and thousands of apparent ways to God, apparent paths to God. Just like the Pharisees thought that they were a way to God. So we've got, you know, Gandhi, Buddha, Muhammad. We've got holy men. We've got rituals. In Australia, it's basically just being a good person. I mean, if you walk up to the average Australian and say, you know, "How do you get into heaven? How do you know God?" And they'll say something like, "Well, if there is a God, I think if you're a good person, you know, you'll get into heaven. You'll be right." But Jesus here says no to all of that. He says no to Gandhi, no to Buddha, no to being a good person. He says, "I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the only way to God." I don't have a fantastic illustration, but as I was thinking about this, it just reminded me of fad diets. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of fad diets, and they all promise the perfect way to weight loss, right? You know, they say things like, "Eat nothing but pomegranates for a week and it'll just fall off," you know? That's the way. You've got lemon detox, gluten diet, non-gluten diet, protein, non-protein, high calorie, low calorie. chicken soup, diet pumpkin soup, lentil soup. You've got anything that you can think of. There is this diet on the perfect, not picking on anyone. There's the perfect way to lose weight, right? So there are thousands of ways to lose weight, apparently, and they all promise this perfect way to lose weight. But we know that the easy, basic way to lose weight is burn more calories than you're eating. That's it. Burn, you know, less calories going in, more calories going out, weight falls off. There you go. That's the way. It's just, it's not rocket science. It's that it, you know, less calories going in, more calories going out. And that's kind of what it's like with Jesus. It's like there are thousands of ways that promise to take you to God, but Jesus says that he is the only way. He is the one way. All of these other ways don't actually lead you to God. Jesus is the door. So we can see that we have this craving for life, right? We can see that Jesus says that he is the path, and that path is knowing God, having a relationship with God. That's the only thing that can really satisfy you, that can really save you. And Jesus has a challenge to us now. If you're someone who hasn't come to God through Jesus, you wouldn't put yourself in that category. Jesus has got a challenge to you tonight, and his challenge to you is this. His challenge is just think about what he's saying. Think about what he's saying, that he is the door, he is the path to life, and that he is the only path to life. What do you think about that? Jesus is gently urging you to come to him, to receive life, and to begin a relationship with this awesome God. That's Jesus' challenge to you. If you have come to God through Jesus, then Jesus has a challenge for you and for me. He's got a challenge for us tonight. And that challenge is to come and get life. Come and get it. You've got a craving. Jesus said, I came to give life and give it abundantly. So we need to go to God and to get this life. We need to get to know God better. We need to read our Bibles, get to know how loving he is, get to know how caring he is, get to know what he's like as a father, what he's like as a God. We need to take a walk in the woods and just look at how beautiful he made it and the artistic flair that he put into creating the earth. Because knowing God is the only thing that's going to really satisfy us. That's what life is really about. So if you're in the boat where you've come to God through Jesus, that's his challenge to you. If you're unsatisfied with your life, if you're bored, come to him and get it. Just to close tonight, we're just going to sing an old hymn. It's called How Great Thou Art. And this song is just about how awesome God is. It's about how he created the world, how beautiful the world is. And it's about how awesome he is just for sending Jesus to die for us so that we could know him. So let's just come and think about God and praise him and just think about who he is and what he's done for us.